did we end up at?
Well, we were just about getting ready to talk about Roberto Clemente.
Roberto Clemente. Oh, boy. Tell me what tool he didn't have. God gave him every tool in the world. He could run, he could field, he could throw, he could hit with power. He had all five, six tools you want to mention. And one of the nicest guys that ever lived. Roberto Clemente is a beautiful thing they did back in Pittsburgh. Maybe that bridge had for him.
Oh, yeah.
And I seen him catch balls over his shoulder and then run into the brick wall, put four or five stitches in his chin. He was by far the best player I've ever played with.
Wow. Well, that's saying a lot. You know, I remember watching him swing his bat, and I'm telling you, he would reach out and get balls that, you know, were, I didn't think anybody could hit him. Hit him with one hand, and
he had such a strong hand. Boy, his hands are strong, and he could really play. He could really play. Yeah, he never gave up. He hustled all the time. Well, I mean, run hard, and he beat Coach on that play to first base in the World Series. It was a big turning point. And he was by far, he went all out on every play. Yeah.
Now, some of the other folks that were on the team at that time, I wanted to talk about some of the pitchers. And you probably have, being a catcher, you probably know the pitching staff better than just about anybody else. Yeah. So tell us about the Pirates pitchers for that team.
Well, we had Elroy, as you know, he had a great football, and he had the guts of a burglar, and he knew what he wanted to do, and he, 19 out of 20 times, he just go up there and shut the door in your face. You forget about it. We had Clem Levine, we picked up a little later, who came for who pitched for the Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers. He had a good curveball, and he was always the gentleman of the whole bunch, because he dressed neat. His tie and shirt and coat and everything was so neat. He was a well-dressed looking guy, but he knew what he wanted to do when he was on the mound. Freddie Green, a left-handed pitcher. Fred and me was really good friends for a long time until he served up a couple long ones of battle during the World Series. And then we didn't become friends, but now we're back friends again, even though he left us. But he was a big, tall left-hander, was tough on left-handed hitters.
Oh, yeah.
George Witt, we call him the ghost because he was always so white. He never got any set of anything. But he had pretty good stuff, but he just, he pitched quite a bit for us, but he had better stuff than he showed sometimes.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who else is on that?
Well, Vern Law.
Vern Law, the Deacon.
The Deacon.
Oh, boy. Anybody could have caught the Deacon. That's why Smokey loved him, because he put the catcher, put his glove down right in one spot, and Vern Law would hit it with no trouble at all. He was a master of how to pitch, and he knew every hitter who came to play how he wanted to, what he wanted to do, and if it was a game on the line, Vernon Law would be my pitcher.
Wow. Bob Friend, you talked a little bit about Bob Friend,
he had that mean curveball, and he threw a lot of them in the dirt, but boy, he wanted to battle hard, and he never missed a turn pitching. Every fourth day, it was him pitching. I don't care. He never got hurt.
Yeah, he seemed like he had put a lot of innings in, and he was very durable.
Oh, yes, he was. He pitched a lot. lot of innings, and he ate up a lot of innings, and he was really a good competitor.
And Harvey Haddix.
The Kitten.
The Kitten, yeah. Now, they called him the Kitten from a, as I understand, there was a Harry the Cat Prakeen.
Yeah. And there's Harvey Haddix. He was a little left-hander that had great control and a sharp curveball. And he knew exactly where every pitch was going to go. He had unbelievable control. I was with the ball club the year before when we went the perfect game against Milwaukee, but I could see him doing it day in and day out. He never walked a bat, and he was really sharp on pitching.
And they had Vinegar Ben Mizell. They acquired that year.
We picked him up from June 15th to 1960 with the Cardinals. For Javier, the second baseman,
and
Vinegar Ben, we had a meeting before every game, and Vinegar Ben said, "I'm pitching this guy low and away and high and tight, low and away, high and tight." And I could hear Bertol say, "If you pitch like that, we'll win." And that's a Vinegar Ben. He was a great guy and funny as heck. But he really helped our ball club that year when we picked him up.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was. He went 13-5 for the Pirates. Yeah, he had a very good year. That was just an incredible team. It seemed like they. That was a team of destiny. They always seemed to be able to come back from where
we
were.
I was on that ball club, but. We won so many games coming from behind in the 7th, 8th, and 9th day. That year, that was unbelievable. I think it was 19 or 20 games. We was behind, going in the late innings, and next thing you knew, the Pirates walked off with another victory.
Yeah, just incredible. What a team. Yeah. I mean, and for you to be part of that, really, it's the all-time team of many people. And especially people from Pittsburgh.
It's amazing how many cards you get. Sign these baseball cards and stuff and send them back to them. Still get them in the mail. 5-6 of them a week. And my grandfather remembered when you played, Bob. But I just, I'm amazed. Anyhow, and then when they handed out the World Series checks, I got mine in the mail. I got it here framed.
Oh, do you? You never cashed it?
I haven't cashed it yet. $6,746.71. And I got it in the mail. And my banker, I called my banker up. He says, "Bring it down here, Bob." I showed it to him. He says, "Give it to me." I gave it to him. And I'll let you know in a couple of days. A couple of days later, he called me up. He says, "Come down and pick up your check." He had it framed and everything. And I got it hanging on my wall here. Mm. And I tell people I haven't cashed that check yet. And some people do.
Awesome. So,
and Baz caused it all.
Yeah, it's all his fault. Jeez, that's great. That's great. So, you know, I don't ever recall a series so lopsided and yet so exciting and so surprising. It was really one for the books. It really was.
Oh, yeah. Just like Washington said to St. Louis home after four games. You only get paid, the players only get paid a percentage of the first four games. Well, we want to be sure the owners got their.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's why we played seven games. And, they didn't need my talent until one day in Yankee Stadium, the fourth game and the fifth game, I think it was.
Yeah, it was, yeah. They put you in the ninth inning defensively.
Murtaugh said, I better put my smart catcher in there now. So I caught the ninth inning of both games, and it was both winning games. That's the nicest part of the law.
Oh, sure.
I just lost the two of the winning games, but we stretched it out to make it seven games, so the owners all made money, too.
Well, you know, while we're talking about the Pirates, I wanted to ask you about Danny Murtaugh and Joel Brown.
Joel Brown. He really, I think he got along really good with all the players and everything. He was all congratulated the guys and did this and that. Joel and me got along good. I didn't have much to do with him because I was always hit away. He couldn't find me because I was in the bullpen or something. But Danny Murtaugh, what a quiet Irishman he is. He was always quiet. And every time I'd go in the dugout before a game, a lot of times Murtaugh would say, hey, Pop, I need a chew. And I had a bad habit of chewing back then. And so I'd give him my pack. He'd take a chew out of there. He says, go to the bullpen. I'll see you later. And so now I go to my bullpen and get my good seat down there. And I watched about 140 games or so from the bullpen. But I enjoyed every bit of it because I was with a bunch of great guys that wanted to win. And the same 8-10 players played every day. And it was an enjoyable season, I know that.
Well, everybody that I've spoken to has said that you were a great addition on the team because of all the, you know, not only that you were there when they needed you, but you were there to keep everything loose and to keep keep up the good humor, and they all really valued you as a teammate.
Well, we had fun. I know one thing. They made me happy, so every once in a while I had to make them have a laugh once in a while. But no, they was really fun. And I know one thing, like they do nowadays, that champagne they pour all over each other.
Yeah.
We didn't do that. We drank. We drank. We didn't spill no champagne all over there. We drank it. We enjoyed it. That's the fun part of it.
So that
every little kid could have a chance to enjoy the World Series.
So you still have your ring, don't you? Your World Series.
Oh yeah. You can't take that off my hand.
Oh, that's great.
I'll take it off once in a while to show people, but I watch it like a hawk. It doesn't get out of my sight because somebody's liable to pick it up and keep it accidentally.
Well, I saw a story where someone stole Dick Schofield's World Series ring.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever got it back or not.
No, the only thing bad about mine, I can't read my name on the side of it or my number. War number two, and it's worn, the printing is worn off of it. And so outside of that, that's why I don't want to take it off. No one would ever know who the ring belongs to, almost. Yep.
Oh, gosh. So then in 61, after all that, then you played most of the season in Columbus for the Jets.
Yeah, and Cal River was the manager there.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we won the pennant that year for him. And then in
boy, there were a lot of future Bucks on that team. That was I'm just going to go through some of the names. Well, we talked about Tom Chaney. He played there. Don Clendenin, Earl Francis, Fred Green was on that team that year. Jack LeMay, Don Leppert, Al McBean.
Yeah,
Roman Mahos, a bunch of them. Bob Veal. Remember, Bob Veal was on that team.
Yeah. Oh, boy, he could throw hard.
Boy, that's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have to run up to him. The ball would get there quick enough to you as a hitter with him pitching. Yep.
Yeah,
we had a good ball club in 61 now.
Boy, I'll say a lot better than the parent club. The Pirates kind of that's what's funny about the 61 Pirates. It seemed like they were basically the same team, and they went to sixth place. See what happened when you left?
They didn't have me to study the bullpen down there, stay in the bullpen and keep myself real quiet. Somehow, yeah, Arbor and me separated in 61, and I went to Philadelphia then, yeah.
Yeah, so Philadelphia, boy, that is a whole new ball game for you. Gene Mock as manager, and what can you tell us about Gene Mock?
Gene Mock, in 1957, I think he was manager of the Minneapolis ball company, AAA Ball American Association for St. Paul. One of those two clubs. He was manager. He came to me, he said, "Someday I'm going to get you." I said, "Leave me alone here. I'm on a good ball club in 57. We won the American Association that year. But anyhow, I appreciate it, Gene. In 62, I joined Philadelphia and Gene Mock and who was the other catcher for us?
Clay Dalrymple?
Yeah, Clay Dalrymple. Left-hand hitter, and we platooned quite a bit. And 63, I went back to Philadelphia. 60,
They had Earl Averill on there, too. Was he a catcher, Earl Averill?
Yeah, he was a catcher, too, but he didn't play very much with us, though. Then in 63, well, the Phillies sold my contract to the AAA club, and they invited me to spring training anyhow. Or I went to spring training in 64.
Oh, yeah.
And with the Phillies. But Ebach says to me, he says, "Just keep your mouth shut and just go through your ordinary work." And after about 4 weeks of spring training, about a week before spring training broke, they announced they made me a coach.
Right.
And Gene Mock, by far, was 3 innings ahead of everybody else in managing the baseball game. He was the smartest guy I ever played with. Four.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew how to manage a team. Yeah, and he was an outstanding manager, and he would fight for everything, for a win or a fight for his players. And I really enjoyed playing for Gene Mock.
So he was a different kind of manager than Murtaugh.
Oh, yeah. Murtaugh just sat over on the bench and just chew tobacco, spit every once in a while, and Gene Mock would be involved in every pitch and everything else. Yep. Completely different managers, yeah.
Now, with that Phillies, when you first got on the Phillies, you were reunited with a couple of players that you had played with before. There was Roy Sievers and Don Hoke,
yep,
and Jim Lemon,
yeah,
Ryan Duren. So there was a few of those players that you had played with before.
Yeah. I was one of those smart coaches in 64 when we had a 6.5 game game lead in Philadelphia. And a team of the Atlanta Braves came in. There were guys like Adcock and Aaron and Matthews and Del Crandall. They came into Philadelphia and whipped us 4 games in a row. I mean, they beat us bad. I mean, the score of those 4 games was awful. But we had a 6.5-game lead with 12 to go. Now we got to go to St. Louis. We lose 3 more. Now we go to Cincinnati for the last 3 games of the season. And we beat Cincinnati on the last day of the season. But a good friend of mine, Al Jackson, a left-handed pitcher.
Oh, yes. He was with the Pirates and the Mets.
And he was beating the Cardinals. The Cardinals had to lose the last game for us to have a playoff. And he was leading the Cardinals, and then we scored about 5 or 6 runs in the middle of the inning against Cincinnati to go ahead. Back then, they flashed score back and forth. We went ahead, and the Cardinals was behind them, and then the next thing you know, the Cardinals put up a crooked number and won that game. But I was one of those smart coaches that lost 10 out of 12 that year.
Well, you know, the thing about that, they said Gene Mock was trying to use Jim Bunning and Chris Short primarily for down that stretch. And is that what happened as far as you can recall?
Buddy went on 3 days rest, 1 game, just so in case anything happened, he could pitch the last game of the season, if I remember right. And yeah, I know he was questioned on that. And but the ball just didn't bounce our way, and I can remember that pretty much how it is. We just got beat. Atlanta beat us 4. I mean, the Braves beat us.
Milwaukee, yeah.
Milwaukee beat us 4 to roll. They broke every seat in left field at Conneaut Stadium that 4-game series. But I don't second guess the team on any of that stuff, though. But there was something to write about. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it was a good story, except it turned out bad.
Yeah. There were a couple of the players I wanted to ask you about on the Phillies. Johnny Callison.
Oh, what a good player he was. He was a good player. He could bat third that lineup for me any day in the world. He was a good left-handed hitter, and he could play in right field, and He had all the tools too. He could run and throw, but he wasn't quite as powerful as Clemente.
Mm-hmm. And Dick Allen.
Dick Allen, baby. I was in spring training with him, and he broke in with 54, rookie third baseman, and baby, he had the heaviest bat. Most of us use that bat for a weight. Just to swing it, but he used it at the plate, and he was strong, and I believe he had the best talent of any player I ever saw.
The best what?
Talent.
Oh,
he
really?
Had all the talent. He could run, he could throw, and he could hit a ball as far as anybody had. He was really an outstanding player, and he was. I thought he'd be an all-star for years coming. The way he broke in and that year with us, I thought for sure later on he'd be a Hall of Famer, but he didn't quite make it.
Yeah. Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas, he had a good bat. But outside of that, I don't think Frank had really... But could swing the bat good, and he was pretty much as a pitch hitter for us in 54, near the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the other one of the pitchers was an old timer, Cal McLish.
Cal McLish. Yeah, Coolidge, he was a fun idiot, and he was a good pitcher, and he had all the pitches, and he knew what he was wanted to do. He was a tough competitor, but he was on that 64 club, was he? I think he was a coach.
He was on 62.
He became a coach later, I think.
I believe you're right, yes.
Yeah. But Cal McGish was a good pitcher. He had all the pitches, and he knew what to do with all of them. He had a great idea about pitching.
So then, when you were with the Phillies, how many years did you coach with the Phillies?
66 was my last year, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was scouting for the Phillies for 1 year. Then Cal Irmer got the job as manager at the Minnesota Twins, and he called me up. And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to come with you, Cal." And on that coaching staff was Billy Martin at third base. Cal McLish. Was he the pitching coach? I think he was.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
And I'm trying to think who the heck was the first base coach of Minnesota.
Sam Mealy. No, he was gone by then.
No. Yeah. Huh. But anyhow, I went with Cal, and as a coach with the Twins, and then at the end of the season, we had such a bad season. Not the one where the players didn't play; they had a bad year. And Cal got fired. Billy Martin got the middle of the season. Billy Martin went to Denver to manage. Then they hired him. Following year.
Right. He was the, when they went to division play, Billy Martin was their manager. Yeah. I interviewed Jim Cott, and I told him, I mentioned your name, and he remembered you fondly. So.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Cott. Yeah, all right. He was a big left-handed pitcher that had good stuff. And easy arm motion, and he was a good pitcher, and he's really a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. I think you ought to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right close to it, yeah.
You know, I wanted to, at this point, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your overview of your career. Like, when you, from all the players that you'd seen, who do you think was, who stuck out as the, you mentioned a couple of them, but who would, to me, who would you say is the best players that you saw play in your day?
Clemente, the best player, best hitter I ever faced was Ted Williams. But Mantle had all the tools. The guy that's in the Hall of Fame, I was lucky enough. I should look that up sometimes, see how many of those guys I played against that I helped get into the Hall of Fame. These guys take credit for the talent they got. They got to take it, who they played against sometimes, too, how dumb we were pitching to some of these guys and everything else. But Koufax would be rated right up there among the best. Gary Hall would be voted as probably the best pitcher I ever played with. Him and Jim Buddy. Buddy was a tough competitor.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to play against some wonderful players, and I made them look really good sometimes.
Boy. let me ask you, did you have any experience managing after the coaching experience?
Yeah, I was counting at 69. I left Montreal, and I told the folks that I gotta stay home more, because I had two boys that had muscular dystrophy, and so I wanted to stay home, and they offered me a scouting job. Montreal did. And I took that, and that's how I got into scouting. And I wanted to stay home more because the boys is getting bigger, and it's getting tougher to lift and move around and stuff. And so I started scouting, and I made it a career. And the date is what, October, what, 20th about? Anyhow, I think my scouting is going to end in the 1st of November of this year.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I work part-time. I've been in the game, what, 70 years, 49 to now. And so 70 years of professional baseball.
Wow.
It's a wonderful job. Wonderful. I never had to work a day in my life.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And so,
that's
yeah,
amazing.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
So I was hoping maybe Miami would hire me part time for another year, but they don't. I'm going to go out happy as heck and enjoy every bit of it, because it's still the greatest game. Everybody understands baseball. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Well,
we don't
yeah.
understand football. Even though I officiated in the off season, 40 some years, high school, football, basketball. Everybody understands baseball.
Sure.
Football, you don't know if the guy's holding basketball or anything like that. But it was, I've had a wonderful, unbelievable career in professional baseball.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is, like, what kind of work did you do between seasons?
When I first came home from work, I worked for the Iowa Highway Commission, throwing snow off the highways and stuff, putting up snow fences. And that's for about 13 years I did that during the winter. As soon as we got done playing ball, you had to find another job.
Right.
Nowadays the guys are just, they just keep in shape. That's all they do.
So your job... The job you did with the highway department sounds like it kept you in shape.
Yeah, well, I worked with so many old people. Those old guys didn't want to do nothing. So I had to do all the work. They just stood around like a supervisor almost, because, but it was enjoyable 12, 13 years that I worked for the highway commission. It was fun. It was really, I enjoyed it. And those old timers, they like that, because he's here playing. They're working with me, who played baseball, and I tell them all kinds of funny stories, and they laugh like heck. They like that. But when it comes to putting up snow fences, they didn't like that. That was too much work. But no, I was very fortunate.
Baseball, well, yeah.
A wonderful life.
Well, judging from your pictures, you look like a pretty strong, you know, healthy guy, so that's good.
Well, I hope some of those pictures had makeup on, maybe they look better. Sometimes I get the makeup on a little screwy, and it makes me look finer than hell, but no, I've been luckier than heck.
So
I've really been lucky.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your assessment of today's game and what you see the baseball is today and where it seems to be heading.
The player is so much stronger. I think the faster. The umpire has got a tough job now. Instant replay is taking something away from the game a little bit, I think. You don't get to see the manager argue with the umpire, and people enjoy that sometimes. It's a better game, though. It's a better game. The players are better, I think. They're quicker, and like could do a lot more things, and they trained the year round in the showtime during the weight rooms. The heaviest thing we ever lifted when we played back then was a bottle of beer. You know what I mean? And we had no trouble lifting the beer. Now these guys lift weights 200 pounds. They get a lot stronger. And it's a better game now, no doubt about it. But I enjoy watching. It's fun to see the talent they got.
You know, I was watching. I was watching a video of the Game 7 of 1960 series a couple of weeks ago, and it struck me of how quickly the pace of the game is. Like, batter gets up, they get up, and you know they're not fooling around with their batting gloves or you know the music cues, and they just get up there and they hit and they pitch.
The only thing I see different is back then, when you get a man on second base, nobody else, the hitter was trying to hit the ball to right field. Nowadays, they just swing hard and see how far they can hit it, home runs and everything. It's not a team sport like it used to be. I really believe that. Back then, it was more of a team sport. Nowadays, it's more of an individual sport.
I agree with you, yeah.
Watch some of the guys walls back at the strike it out, left and right. It doesn't bother them. Back then, it bothered guys when they struck out. I don't know. It bothers them maybe a little bit now, but it doesn't bother them like it did then because they all were hitting, trying to hit his home runs, and more home runs were hit, the more money I get the next year.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the other thing, too, you don't see any more complete games. Pitchers, you know, I remember talking to Jim Cott. He, that one year, I think it was 66 when he won 25 games.
Yeah.
He threw, I think there were 18 of them were complete games, 19.
Oh, I would doubt that, yeah. Oh, yes.
And you don't.
Nowadays, after 6 or 7 innings, even the 5th inning, manager comes out. No, they hand the ball to the manager. The manager doesn't take it from him. He hands the ball to the manager. He almost wants to get out of there. And the reason so much, not many complete games anymore, I think, is we're paying these guys $2 million or $3 million in the bullpen. They better be able to go 1 or 2 innings to get the heck out of there. And we're paying them good money, and complete games don't mean nothing anymore.
Well, Vernon Law pitched 18 innings one time.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah. And he came back 3 days later, pitched on his 4th day.
That's right. And it's a different game, isn't it?
Oh, it really is a different game, yeah.
So when you do your work as a scout, like the work that you do with the I just wanted to get a little bit of insight. When you're doing your scouting for the Marlins, describe what you do and what you're looking for.
A guy can run and throw. Those are two big things. God made you run fast, or you can't run fast. He can make you throw. But running is such a big part of the game now. You see more fast runners nowadays than they used to back when we played. But then we had guys that steal 104 bases like Floyd Wills did that one year. The game has changed. Speed and power is a big thing now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to ask you about your family a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about your family, your wife and children?
Well, on my second marriage, my first wife died about 10 years ago. She had Alzheimer's disease, and she was in a nursing home for 9 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's an awful disease. It's an awful disease, and finally, I in Oklahoma. She married a guy who works for American Airlines, and he's just retired. They live outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Owosso. And they got two grandchildren. I got two grandchildren, two girls. They was very good volleyball players.
Mm.
And the one's married now and living in the state of Washington, and the other was still at home. And I had two boys, both had muscular dystrophy, and they both went to a wheelchair finally, and that's how I got into scouting. And they both passed away, 12, 14 years ago or so.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
And my daughter, she's doing well, and her husband. And my second wife, I got married. I met her through a mutual friend. And so somehow, after a couple of years, she was from Kansas City. And she, I was always playing Kansas City, Houston Scouting, and I, so one day, she says, we ought to take a trip. I said, where would we go? She says, I got a girlfriend I went to school with that lives in Phoenix, Arizona. So we went to Phoenix, down there to stay with her for a week or so, and, then we went back to Zara again, and this is pretty good weather down here. So we were sober. Then I got married. We were walking down the street of Phoenix in December, and I said, "You want to get married?" She looked at me. Yeah. Caught her by surprise, I think. I said, let's get married today.
Wow.
The only reason I mentioned today to her, the only date I ever remember, 12-12-12, December 12, 2012. And so that's...
Wow.
So we got married, so I can't forget that date, 12-12-12.
Wow.
So we got married. And we snowbird back and forth from Iowa and Arizona during the summer, much would be the Midwest scouting. And then when we come down here for about 5 years, and we bought a house down here, and about the same time, 2014, and we snowbird for about 5-6 years. And last summer, spring, we was at home in Iowa. I says, we ought to make up our mind. I pay taxes in both of these places and all the utilities and all these stuff. Let's decide where we want to go. So we decided Arizona. We bought a house in Arizona. And so now we're a resident of Arizona. And I don't have to worry about shoveling snow no more or anything else. And the sun shines here all the time. It does get a little hot. This past summer was the first summer we spent here. And so we figured next summer we'll take a vacation, go someplace, and enjoy it. So get out of the heat a little bit. But I don't have to worry about shoveling snow, wearing heavy clothes or anything like that. And I really enjoyed it. I got a wonderful wife that does everything for me. And I just sit back, relax, and we really enjoyed life together.
Well, you don't have to put up any more snow fences either.
No, heck no, that's right. And never say to that wife stuff anymore.
Just on TV.
So.
So, what are your favorite outside interests and hobbies over the years?
We joined a club down in bocce ball. You ever heard of bocce
ball? Oh, sure. Yeah, it's an Italian sport.
I'm in a league in there, and I enjoy fighting that every week. And those old timers, there's a lot of old people down here. We live in a village, fenced in and everything, and it's a lot. It's really nice. It's I enjoy the older people, and they everybody's so nice, and kind, and everything. And we'll go to four or five different places. This is a nice place we want to go see, or a musical show or something. We go to those things, yeah. But we just, when they say retire, by golly, that's what I'm doing. I'm retired.
I thought, though, you were still working for the Marlins until November.
Until November 1st, I think, is the deadline of my contract. But I think this might be the end, though, Steve, really.
Wow.
I enjoyed baseball. Baseball's been great to me, gave me a great life, and it's been fun, and I follow it all the time. I watch it all the time, and it's been a beautiful life.
I've only got a couple more questions now, and you've been such a great interview. These stories have just been great. What do you believe is your most important contribution to the game of baseball?
I helped 19, 20 guys in the big leagues.
Whoa.
And in playing the game, I've been on a lot of winning ball clubs, championship teams, and the biggest thrill of all was the 60 World Series. And I've been very fortunate. I was at the right place at the right time in a lot of things.
Was there anything you would do differently if you had to do it all over again?
Well, how many championship cups I was on, I'd probably like to add about four or five more. But I don't know I really don't know. I met so many great people in the game that I don't know how you could explain it.
So,
what
advice would you give to youngsters or aspiring ball players?
The best advice is, I think it's anything you do, the best thing to do is play with people that are older than you, that are better than you. Why be the best player on a team? You don't have another game to look forward to. If you work with people better than you in any business, you get better yourself. And that's how I got to be where I am. If it wasn't for my older brother, take me along to play with people 4 or 5 years older than I was when I was 12, 13 years old, I would never be in the position that I got to.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Yeah. So, who was the most influential person in your life?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to play baseball like Gabby Hartnett with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that helped me the most would be, I really think, maybe Cal Irvin, my manager, helped me get better. And in Charlotte, Chattanooga got me to the big leagues. I think he had a lot to do with the big leagues. And after I got to the big leagues, he brought me back. But 10 years later or so, he had coached for me in the big leagues. I would probably say him, yeah.
Okay. So, do you have any final thoughts as you look back on your life and career that you'd like to share with everyone?
Well, all I can say is Baseball is as great to me. I wish that every little kid that wanted to play baseball, and they all do when they're kids, and they want to get to the big leagues. God help them. Or play with people like if they're older than you and learn as much as you do and stay away from that funny stuff. We never had to worry about that funny stuff back when we played. All we had to worry about how to win a ball game and have a bottle of beer at the game and get ready for the next day. But no, it's baseball's been great to me. I couldn't ask for a better life than baseball. It's an unbelievable life, and it's a job that I never worked during the summertime.
Wow. Well, Bob, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your giving us your time and experience, and you've given us a lot of joy throughout the years of all the games that you've played and what you've given to baseball. And I think we should all appreciate what you've done.
And it's been fun. It's been a great ride out there. Steve, it's been unbelievable ride. If every kid could have my life, it'd be a wonderful world. I mean it.
I believe it. And hearing it, it's like, boy, you've really had a nice, it's been a great career you've had. And I thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, it's been fun. And it's been a great ride. And I hope it's good to next June, so I give Bass some more trouble because he calls me to make another trip back to Pittsburgh. And nice thing about it, Pittsburgh picks up all the expenses.
That's awesome.
We'll fly back, and 3-4 days there in Pittsburgh is the most enjoyable time of your life.
Those reunions
are fun.
I can tell you this, the only regret I have from this interview is that I didn't meet you in person, but I would love to do that. And, you know, I'm in touch with the alumni fella, the Joe Bilotto, and I'd like to find out, you know, when the reunion is going to happen. I'd love to be there. I'm not that far away. We're only about 7 hours away. And my mom still lives there. She's 88, and she lives in Bethel Park. I don't know. Where did you live during the season when you were there in Pittsburgh?
You know what? I don't even know. Coach of Bill Bird and Skinner, because I rode with them to the park once in a while. And I have no idea. I really don't. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, that's okay.
I went to Pittsburgh to play baseball, and I end up only know where I live at. And then I only get in 22 games. Gee, buddy, what else you need?
I think we have it.
Maybe we'll see you there.
I hope we'll see you. Is it going to be in June, July? Do you know?
June 15th, I think Joe told me. He's on June 15th and 16th that weekend.
Okay.
Against the Yankees. He says, we're playing the Yankees.
Wow.
Says, okay. No, that'd be an easy dude. Weekend that will be no trouble.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It is.
I've got a biography. I know I got your email, but I'm going to mail this to you. I'd like to get your mailing address if I could. Well, okay. I've taken about 2 hours of your time doing this, and I can't tell you again how much I appreciated it. It's a real honor, and it's been a lot of fun. Lindy sat here the whole time and listened to your stories, and usually she gets up and does something else, but, you know, it was great. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Tell her hello. Thank you very much.
And I hope we can see you in June. It'd be awesome.
Oh, it would be great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.